Last Sunday, we talked about being prepared for the second advent or the second coming of Christ. And in 2 Peter, the third chapter, verses 8 through 15, Paul reminded the people that God's not slow. He's always on time. But he waits around and does things in his own time to give us an opportunity to get our act together, to get ourselves prepared to see Christ. So you see, he's always on time. And if we prepared our hearts, as we talked about last week, we should have joy and peace today. Amen?
Amen.
We should have joy and peace that comes to us as we are prepared believers in Jesus Christ. If we have prepared our hearts and have accepted this good news of Jesus Christ, we're happy. We have joy and we have peace. Turn with me, if you will, please, to Psalm 126 and be blessed by the words of the psalmist. Psalms 126. And when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, they were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoice. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourse of Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. And those who go out weeping, bear the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is not slack concerning any of his promises. Jesus never stated the exact time that he would return. He said that only the Father in heaven knows when this second advent will be. If you are prepared today for that second advent, you have peace and joy. But there's things that we have to do in order to remain prepared. In order for us to remain prepared, we are to embrace the grace of our Heavenly Father. By embracing this grace, we will be constantly aware of the joy and peace that's ours, that we can possess. Do you know anyone that's always sad or down in the mouth, as old folks used to say? We all do. I have a cousin that several of the members of the family, not me, I wouldn't do this. Yes, I'm guilty. I've done it too. When we call her name, we always put the word poor in front of it. Poor Janice has just touched all of our hearts. The reason we do this is because she's always sad. If you don't want to know exactly how sad she is, don't you ask her how she is, because she will tell you her sob stories that date back to the Ice Age. She's one of the most sad, most negative people that I've ever met. But what's going on here? She has no peace. She has no joy.
Man.
You talk to her. Yes, I'm a Christian. It breaks your heart. If people look at us individually and say, if that's Christian, I really don't think I want any of it because it looks like it hurts.
Amen.
We've all encountered people that claim to be a Christian and never smiled, never parted their lips. Something happened to their joy, if they ever had any. Something happened to their peace. And it's the same thing like with this cousin of mine. I believe that truly once she did have joy, once she did have peace. But we all allow things at one time or another to come into our lives and steal our joy, steal our peace, and steal our victory in Jesus Christ. Is this how Christ wants us to live? Down in the mouth? No. He wants us to repent of our sins and invite Him into our lives. And when we do this, we will know exactly what the Apostle Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians 5:17 when he said, "So if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." What this means is that those who become Christians become new people. They're not the same person anymore. For the old life is gone. A new life has begun. All of those things that you did in your past that are there to haunt you. I'm not saying you'll forget them, but God will forgive you. He can make all the wrongs right if we will only allow Him to. A joyful and peaceful person is a person that has truly prepared themselves and repented and accepted Christ into their life. The British preacher Charles Spurgeon was a pastor for over 38 years in London. And there was a college founded in his name there after his death. And when speaking to one of his classes one day about the importance of making your facial expressions harmonize with your speech, he told the class, he says, "When you speak of heaven, let your face light up. Be excited about it. Let it be radiated with a heavenly gleam, and let your eyes shine with reflecting glory." But he went on to say, "But when you speak of hell, well, your ordinary face will be okay." A familiar Christian refrain. It's taken from the King James Version of Luke 2:14. "On earth, peace, goodwill toward men." We're living today in a day and age where there is no peace on earth. And there's no goodwill toward men. Everywhere you turn, here even in Tallahassee, I read in the paper the other day about some person that was shot down here on South Adams Street at a convenience store. It's everywhere. There's unrest. There's no peace. Jesus Himself said, "You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened, for those things must take place." It's in Matthew 24, verse 6. We talk about peace at Christmas time. But we need peace all year long. Where does this kind of peace begin? It begins with God. You cannot ever in your lifetime have peace outside of Jesus Christ. You may think you have money, a good job, everything that the world can offer. But there will always be a void in your life that can only be filled through the blood of Jesus Christ. There was a man in the hospital one time that was real close to death. And the preacher come to talk to him. And the minister asked him, says, have you made your peace with God? And that's something that all of us preachers want to know, if everything's okay between you and the Lord. And the man looked at the preacher kind of weakly, and he says, I didn't know we had quarreled. And you know, that's exactly the problem today. There's an attitude that we have that I'm okay, you're okay, suggesting that another person is not okay is just something you do not do. We worry about being politically correct. We need to start worrying about being spiritually correct. We need to know if our neighbor is saved and on their way to heaven, or are they facing eternity in hell. We need to ask that question of ourselves. Are we saved? Or are we facing eternity in hell? People without God in their lives can be cheerful. They can be happy. Some of the happiest people I've ever seen were not Christians. But it's not the kind of cheer that comes through the blood that was shed on Calvary. It's not the kind of joy that one experiences when we realize that Jesus loved them so much that he died for them. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever today what sins you have committed. Jesus Christ died on the cross that you could be forgiven. You can have joy and you can have peace. Our culture today is so wrapped up in trying not to offend people that they never think, not one minute, that their actions and their words may be offensive to Christ. When we think this way and have this attitude, we tend to forget about God. We want to be so correct and so prim and so proper and not offend anybody till we totally forget that what we're doing may be offensive to Christ. It's true that we don't see Christ, but we can talk to him 24/7. Because the God that we serve today, folks, is not some sort of great-great-grandfather who lives in a faraway nursing home called heaven. That's not the God that we serve. We are serving a true, real, living God. This peace with God that I'm talking about today results in peace and joy within ourselves. If you go to any library in any city, you will find hundreds of self-help books. Most of them are written to give peace to people that have some kind of turmoil going on in their life. Turmoil over past failures, turmoil over unfulfilled expectations, over declining relationships, and over financial problems. Everybody is faced with problems that they don't know how to solve. One day a doctor examined a patient and concluded that there was absolutely nothing physically wrong with the man. The doctor told the patient, says, you probably have some business or social problem that maybe you should talk over with a good therapist or counselor. The doctor told the man, says, actually, I dealt with a case very similar to yours only a few weeks ago. This patient of mine had a $5,000 debt that he couldn't pay. And because of his financial problem, he had worried himself into a state of nervous exhaustion. He was just a nervous wreck. And did you cure him, the man asked. I sure did, said the doctor. I've just told him that to stop worrying, that life was too short, to make oneself sick over a little old piece of paper. And now he's back to normal. He stopped worrying. The man looked at the doctor. He says, "Yeah, I know. I'm the one he owes $5,000 to. And that's what's worried me." So we all have things that come into our life that worry us to death. And it seems that everybody is worried. Nobody is exempt. But Jesus is here today to remind us that he came into the world to bring us peace and joy. You may not be able to get your mind off of your problems today, but be assured you are not alone. We all have problems. And be assured that Jesus Christ cares about each one of our individual problems. In Philippians 1, 3 and 4, Paul starts his letter out with a brief prayer that sets a stage for everything else that Paul had to tell the Philippians. Paul says, "I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now." Paul's joy and constant rejoicing stemmed from his experiencing God's grace. And of course, when you experience God's grace, you experience the comfort and peace that comes with it. This emphasis on grace reminded the Philippians that they had a new position in Christ because of grace. Without God's grace, none of them, including Paul himself, would be able to enjoy life in peace in Christ. Paul also mentioned their participation with him in spreading the gospel. We don't simply become a Christian and then exist without fellowship and without involvement in ministry. When we're saved, we are commissioned to spread the good news. God's grace provides us with a partnership, a spiritual partnership. As God continues to work in each of our lives, he fills us, totally fills us up with joy and peace. He wants us to be successful, and he wants us to successfully complete the mission and our side of the partnership. He never fails to keep up his end of the bargain. God always keeps his promises. He does exactly what he says he'll do. And there isn't a single day, hour, minute, or second when God is not working on behalf of every one of us here. We are all constantly the center and the focus of God's part of that partnership. And it's sad that when you think about it, we don't keep up our half of that bargain, because there's so many times that, myself included, we all lose sight partnership. We all let the problems of everyday life come between us and holding up our end of the bargain. All he wants us to do is to submit to him and do his will and spread the good news. That's all he asks, and that we love him. I want to leave you with these words from Isaiah 26:3. God says, "Those of steadfast mind you keep in peace because they trust in you." God wants us to be steadfast. He doesn't want us to be wishy-washy, and He wants our best. When you enter into a relationship with somebody, it doesn't take long before you realize that you can't give. People used to say, our relationship's a 50-50. It ain't gonna work. Your relationship has to be 100-100. You have to give all of yourself into that relationship. Both of them. If you're going to have a partnership with Jesus Christ, He wants your all today.
Amen.
He wants your all. Are you giving Him your all? That's not human nature. Our flesh wants to seek revenge or to even the score. But God says to seek peace. The Son of God, in whom God is well pleased, came to earth during that first advent to bring peace to all men. He told His disciples, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. That's Matthew 5:9. You too can be one of the sons of God. Yeah, you can pull that off. You can be one of the sons of God if and only if you're at peace with God and at peace with yourself. Divine joy is not dependent upon our circumstances. You could have, like I said, all of the material possessions in the world, but that won't bring you divine joy. It comes from our being delighted to know God and to have His Son Jesus in our hearts. Listen today for the sound of the angel's song this morning. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men.